Raised Rowdy. Hello and welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Nikki T.
My name's Kurt Ozon.
And we are here today with special guest, Mr. Lane Pimmon.
What up, dog?
What's up?
Welcome to America, literally.
Thank you. It's wild. It's nuts.
Yes, I know. This is probably the guest with the furthest commute, you know?
Yeah.
It was long. It was how many flights? I did a 13-hour from, 5 hours from Tamworth to Sydney, 13 hours from Sydney to LA, and then however long the flight is from LA to here.
Another five.
So I can't do math, so that's like what, 23?
That's like 1,000, I think.
Yeah.
It's like 69,
the longest,
420.
It's long, long
time. The longest flight I've ever been on is 5 hours.
The longest flight I've ever been on was probably coming from Sydney back, but the one that felt the longest was when I was in the middle seat flying to Sydney one time.
Ooh.
Or flying to Brisbane or something. Brutal, man.
Bro, it's aisle seat or window seat or nothing for me.
Well, now with our travel agent, we can specify if we prefer aisle or window. I'm an aisle guy.
Yeah.
Aisle's convenient.
Yeah, because it's like, well, you're a long leg, dude. You know, it's like you can stick your legs out for a little bit if you need
to. Plus,
stretch.
It's like if you need to like get up and go for a walk or like go chuck a piss, it's so convenient when you're in the aisle seat. You don't have to ask anybody to move. Yep. You just go
100%.
On.
Yeah.
Well, for the listeners that are listening, which is the listeners who are listening, Lane Pittman is from Australia.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
It's Australia. That's just my home. I don't know. Everyone, like all the Americans are like walking around last weekend at CMA Fest. They were like, where's your accent from? It's so cool. I'm like, this is like the most not Australian accent you'll hear. There's people who are so much more bogan than me.
Yeah, bogan, dude.
That's redneck like, Australian.
Yeah it's
because you're not from Sydney. You're from the bush. Is that right?
Yeah.
No.
No, I mean, yes, but no. I mean, if you want to go back to where I was born, I'm from the sticks.
Right.
Like, it's, like, worse than the bush. It's like a mining town in the middle. Can we swear on the podcast?
Yes.
It's a mining town in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. Yeah. Like, it's to the nearest, like, capital, like, the state capital city is Brisbane, and I think that's, like, a 2 12-hour-day drive. Like, it's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, you're out there for sure.
Yeah.
Which is, what is that, like, that's, like, West Virginia or something of...
We don't even... No, probably, like, Montana or something. Like, not close to stuff.
What's the, this is going to be just like ignorant Americans asking questions.
But no, let's do it.
I mean, that's really the theme of the pod.
Yeah. We're like, yeah.
So, well, you know what? Let's pull up a map. I want to see this. What was the scenery like geographically? What is it like? Deserty over there or what?
Well, where I live now, it's like not really deserty. It's kind of like bush, sort of like this kind of area, but I was born is the sticks.
Yeah, what is what's the bush like? Where are you at here?
So where I am is like where I live is like somewhere
on the east coast.
Yeah, I'm at like east coast, so I'm like I'm there. I'm Tamworth.
So okay, so you're a couple hours north of Sydney.
Yeah, it's like 5 hours. But where I was born is like okay, wait, where are we? So we're in Queensland. The viewers.
Yeah,
Google Maps.
They're right here.
They're there?
Yeah,
okay.
They're
so
seeing you.
It's Mount Isa is like somewhere like out like there. It's like the sticks.
And so I know I was reading recently the northern coast of Australia, because that's not too far. You're way inland. But the northern coast of Australia is kind of like mining, but there's not a lot of civilization out there.
No,
right?
They do a thing called FIFO. Which is like fly in, fly out miners. So they just like fly in, do like 2 weeks on, fly home for 2 weeks, in and out.
Right. Kind of like the equivalent of like going on a lobster boat out of Maine for and being gone for a month or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep. So you grew up or was born
Born out there and then moved to Tamworth at like age 3, which is... They call it, we have this big thing, they call it Nashville's sister city. It's like the Australian capital of country music.
Oh, nice.
But
is that where you were born or where you were living?
That's where I live now,
cool.
So we have like a 10-day festival. It's like, I described CMA to like all my Aussie friends as like Tamworth, like we have a 10-day festival. It's like Tamworth on every illicit drug known to man times by about 10 and condensed into 4 days.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And they were like, whoa.
Well, I played the festival there in Brisbane a few times.
Yeah.
CMC, is that right?
Yeah, CMC.
Yeah. And so is that similar to the Tamworth festival?
CMC, the Tamworth one kind of gets the more Australian artists in, whether it's like CMC, you know, it gets kind of everyone from over here and
Yeah.
It's more the international recognition kind of one.
Cool. Yeah, that's wild, man. I mean, Australia's always so fun. The coffee over there is way better than the US, I find.
Dang, really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I'm not, coffee. I'm not a coffee guy, but like I would tend to agree. I've had a couple coffees in my life. I hate coffee. Can't do it.
Yeah, I have some. Yeah, our tour photographer and guitar player, they don't. Tyler and Bergman, they don't drink coffee.
I drink coffee here and there, but my problem with coffee is it gives me jitters. Oof. So I'm like, I can drink a Diet Coke or like something else with caffeine in it, and I'm fine. But coffee, not every time, but often will give me jitters.
Yeah. Oof. Let's talk about was it Bogan? I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, Bogans.
Bogans.
Yeah. So that is
definition of a Bogan.
Yeah. Redneck. Australian redneck.
Pretty
yeah.
much. I mean, I'd consider myself like a semi Bogan. Like I'm not all the way Bogan. Mm-hmm. I'm a posh Bogan. Posh Bogan. There's levels to Bogans. I consider myself on the higher end.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. And like people, Bogans are out in the bush on ATVs or four wheelers and camping and doing that kind of shit, right?
Pretty much. Like they just don't give to. Like they'll go hunting, fishing, the whole nine yards.
Yeah. Loving every day.
Amen. You know what I mean? Amen.
There's so many similarities out there, man. It's crazy.
Yep.
That's so fun. So I know Lane. I don't know if you know this or not, Nick, but I know Lane from when we toured together.
Yeah.
He was first of three on the tour with Luke Combs and Cody Johnson. So it was Lane, Cody.
It's a pretty good lineup.
That was I got blessed so hardcore with that tour. It was like I got an email on a random ass Friday night and it was like, confidential, do you want to open for Luke Combs? You got it like 2 days to decide. I was like, okay, who's decided to fuck with me? Who's found my email on Facebook or wherever I had it and sent me this? And I checked it out and it was real. And then I like had a mental breakdown. I screamed like a 12-year-old girl who'd just gotten like tickets to One Direction back in the day. I was like, no shot, this is real. And my mum, being the lovely woman she is, was like, think logistically. Can you afford to do this tour with the money? I was like, I don't care about money. I'll get a job. I'll work. And
how old are you?
I just turned 18 2 weeks ago.
Damn. There you go. So no Surfside for you. Sorry, pal.
No, I know.
You can look at it, though.
It looks... Look, if I was home, I'd probably crack into one of those. They look delectable.
Is. Yeah, you're allowed to over there.
It's 18 over there. So.
So your mom got you and your mom logistically, money-wise.
Yeah.
Because in the States, you can get in a van or in a car and drive. In Australia, it's physically impossible because we are playing.
I mean, it's not physically impossible. We did it. Me and my granddad is like used to be a long haul truck driver. So we flew to Auckland, obviously, because you can't drive across the sea. But then we met him in Brisbane. We drove Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, Adelaide. The only one we flew was Perth.
Yeah. So Perth is the furthest I've been away from home is Perth. Wow. Like when on Google Maps, if I zoom out, I couldn't even see my house. It's on the further west coast. So it's just literally on the other side of the world. It's gorgeous there.
It's so beautiful. Yeah. Did you go to Rottnest?
I did not quokkas? Know. No,
oh, damn.
That's where all the, what is it, like puffins they have there?
Yeah, the quokkas.
Quokkas. Those things, they're like little, it's like those stuffed
animals.
I know
animals. What a puffin is. Yeah.
But no, puffins are birds, though.
Yeah.
The quokkas are like little stuffed animals.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Then
yeah,
they're like,
I was wrong when I said puffins. They're like, I don't know, they're marsupials or something. I don't know.
Me either. Yeah. They're only in
Perth. They're just super cute, man.
Oh. They're adorable.
Do they have like leprosy or something terrible?
No, they're just cute.
They're just cute?
Yeah.
They just live on an island and vibe.
They're sweet little babies, as you would say. Oh,
sweet little baby angels.
So you got the offer to open for Luke.
Yeah.
And then you just went to logistics mode or...
I didn't. My mom did. I was like, I'm going to write them back an email like now. It was like 9 o'clock. She's like, take 2 days and think about it. The next morning I woke up, I was like, I'm still doing it. And mom actually brought up a good point. I was still in school at the time. She was like, when we toured, they were doing a trial final exams to finish school. And mom was like, can you even leave during those? I was like, I don't care. I'm leaving. So I accepted the tour and I go into school on the Monday morning and I go and see.
He went to high school.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dude? Hey, man, I'm going on tour. I'm opening for Luke Combs on tour. And then you're like in high school class. Could you imagine that?
No. I was. I what? Fucked. It was. That day was so
what
wild.
Mind fuck.
They. they told me, they were like, you can't announce till like 6 a.m. that morning or whatever. Luke posted it at like midnight, so like local time he announced, and my name was on the poster. My phone was blowing up till like 3 in the morning. I was like, I literally had to turn my phone off because I was like, I need to be up for 3 hours to get ready for school.
Yeah.
And I get to school and I had like mates coming up to me, like jumping around, like, holy fuck. I had a teacher come up to me. He so shouldn't have been saying this. He's like, dude, that's fucking nuts. I was like, you shouldn't.
No, I disagree. They should be saying that. Yeah, that is fucking nuts, man.
And I went up to, like, we had like a year advisor, so she was like the person that you'd go to for your year group. And I went up and I was like, so I'm gonna be out next August. And she's like, well, that's when the trial exams are. And I was like, sorry, I'm going on tour. Her first thing was, so why'd you book a tour during August? I was like, bro, I didn't book the tour. It wasn't me. She's like, who is it? I was like, well, I know them. And a little bit more context, I went on The Voice Australia a year before that, and Keith Urban was my coach, and she was like, oh, so you're going on tour with Keith Urban? I was like, no, someone like I love Keith, but like, this is like, for me personally, this is bigger. And she's like, who? And I was like, oh, I'm going on tour with Luke Combs. And she's like, oh, okay, yeah, no, we'll sort the paperwork. You leave, you go do what you need to.
That's amazing. So you found out like how far in advance?
It was about a year in advance, but I have, from when I got the email, it was like 2 weeks till they turned it around and announced. It was like quick. So I didn't have to lie for that long to my mates, which was really good. Because with The Voice, we filmed like 6 months in advance. So I had to like bullshit to them for the longest time. I told them I had a mad voice crack in my audition and like got like no chair turns.
Yeah.
And because I was at that age where it was like believable, they were like, oh, dude, such a bummer. You know, there's always next year. Go again, man. I was like, you idiots.
So, but you must have gone further than that on The Voice.
Yeah, I made it to semifinals. So I like to say, when anybody asks me, I got in and out at like the right time. I got the exposure, no lock-in contracts.
Yeah.
30 days after the show was there, Bob's your uncle, I'm gone.
Yeah. Nick always says that second is the best thing to get on those.
Yeah, some depends on the show. Some are like seventh, you know?
Yeah.
Because then you can kind of be a free agent.
That was it. It was like semifinals was technically the way they do it in Australia. Semifinals was you had two people left on each team. So I was like top eight. And I was like, the chick who beat me, powerhouse vocalist, and I like kind of knew with the song choice they'd give me, I was like, well, there's no way I'm beating this. So I'm just like, I'm here living. I was getting paid for a job that I didn't have because they're like, oh, we're going to compensate you for your job. I'm like, I don't have a job. I'm like 15. This is, I'm living. This is free money rolling into my bank every week.
That's so great.
So after doing that, there's no way you're going to college and getting a degree in like computer science. You're doing the country music thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've always said if it all goes to shit, touch wood, it doesn't. I'm going to go to TAFE, which is like a college, and get a music production like degree. I still want to be in the industry, mostly because I'm too shit at everything else.
Same.
So I'm like, same, dude. I'm like, I've dedicated like 6 years to this, and I'm just like, everyone was like, pick real subjects. I picked like English and science, but music was like the main thing everyone kind of knew. I got told pretty much the only reason they ran like year 11 and 12 music is because I picked it. And everyone else who picked it was bludgeoned, but they were like, this kid needs to run music. So they like ran it for me. And I was like, what? Jeez.
Oh, like your high school was like, had to put classes out because you wanted to do it.
Yeah. So like in our final 2 years, you kind of get to tailor your subject selection based on what you want to do like for a career. So I picked bludgy shit. I picked like the most basic English, math and science you could. I picked a practical like PE subject. And then I picked music, and they weren't going to run it because there was only like five people that picked it. So the music teacher was like, hey, let's just put him in the year 12 class in year 11. And then in year 12, he can just run by him. Oh, we ended up getting two other people. So there was three of us in a class like for my final year, but they were like, we need to run it. He like fought the principal. He was like, we need to run it just for this kid alone. Like, he's doing some stuff.
What was the music class? Like, what were y'all working on? Music theory, singing, performing?
Or? It was a bit of both. Like, my theory is like kind of shit. Like I understand enough to get the job done, but the practical side of things was where I like really shined. And I'd walk into like assessment days and you'd see the other two people, like they'd be sitting there, they would have worked for weeks on like what they were gonna sing or like play or whatever. I'd walk in and the teacher would be like, do you know what you're gonna play today? I'm like, nah, not really. I'd like open up my Spotify playlist or Ultimate Guitar and be like, I've been vibing that song recently, let's just play it. And he knew that I was kind of at the stage where I knew what I was going to do, and my final exams were like all sorted like 6 months in advance.
Wow. I remember I was in guitar class in high school, like senior year. I had already like known I was going to college for guitar, and I could play, you know. I was better than the teacher, and because the teacher was the choir teacher, and so he was like a beginner guitar player, and he was teaching it was an intro to guitar class. And so I was just such a distraction in the class, because I was always just playing hot licks while everyone's strumming, you know, one chord.
Yeah.
And he kicked me out of the class, and he's like, especially like I had all this energy, and I was always you know how me, I always, if there's a guitar in the room, I'm gonna be noodling.
Yeah.
And so he's talking, I'm like, you know, and so he kicked me out and he put me in choir.
What a douche. What a douche.
No, he's great. I mean, he's great. It made sense, because I quit distracting everyone and I couldn't sing for shit. So it's like, I was like, this is way better because I'm learning a lot more. So shout out to Mr. Marcato. I remember him. Good guy.
You're not a douche. I take that back.
Yeah. Man, I just, the idea of being in high school and having all that going on is crazy, man.
Yeah.
It was weird. As coming back off the tour was the funny thing. Like, we played the last show on like a Saturday or whatever.
Is that in Perth?
In Perth, yeah. We played that Saturday show in Perth. Sunday morning, flew back to Sydney. Monday, drove back to Tamworth. Tuesday morning, like 8 a.m., I was back at school. So there was like no time to like breathe. And I walk into school and all my mates, like, they let me have a big head for like a day. At that point, I was like peak monthly listeners with like 3 songs out. I had like 150,000 monthly listeners off the tour, and they were walking around school and they're like, do you know who this is? This is Lane Pittman. He just toured with Luke Combs. He's got 150,000 monthly listeners. Like, he's the GOAT. And then the next day they're like, Lane, shut up. We need help with maths. Like,
yeah.
How do I do this? So they kept me really grounded afterwards, which I think was really important.
Man, I know. It's like, it must be like kind of like a hangover almost. You know, it's like you come off tour and then it's like, well, now what? I know sometimes, like, I get off stage and you play a stadium show and there's 50,000 people and it's this rush and it's adrenaline and dopamine and everyone's cheering. And then you're like, yeah, you play a show, you do great. And then you just, like, go sit in the green room and you're like,
damn.
Okay, now what? Like, I want more of that, you know, but it's gone. So it's like, must be weird going back to real life.
Yeah, I got slapped in the face pretty hard, and then so it was only like a week and a half left of like actual school at that point before we did the final exams, and everyone's like super stressed and they're all like, these exams mean so much to me. I'm like, dude, I'm already talking to like agents and I think I'd actually signed at that point. I think I'd signed with my management and my label. So I was like, look, I'm sweet. I didn't study. The only exam I studied for was my music theory. My practical, I bought the boys in my band in for that exam. I rang them up. I was like, hey, I know we were just playing for like 15,000 people. Do you want to come play for 3 markers in a dead silent room? And to their credit, they were like, yeah, what are we playing? And I was like, let me just rip some songs from our tour set and we'll like fit them in the criteria.
Yeah. I mean, that's like prepping you for radio tour, right?
Yeah.
That was it. It was like the markers. God bless. I actually got like a really good mark. I scored like top 10% in our entire state. Got like 90 out of 100 in music.
Cool.
That was my best subject, and then everything else was downhill from there because I didn't study.
There you go.
So you're talking about management and a record label. So I'm interested to hear how that's different than what we're like here.
Yeah.
So in terms of management, is it someone that is like a country music manager, or someone that does all kinds of different music genres?
My manager, he owns like, he's the owner of an indie label. Did you meet Michael on the tour? Did you meet Chuggy on the tour?
I don't think so.
He ended up, he was booking the tour with Susan. So like he books with Frontier who brought you boys out. And then he's got his own indie label on the side. He's like the most say it how it is person ever. If he like doesn't like you, he'll tell you. And I think that's what for me is really cool. Like if I have a shit song, he'd be like, no, we're not gonna do anything with that. We'll find something better. And I think that's what makes the environment so good I work in. It's just no bullshit.
So management is doing booking for you as well?
My management has a booking agent they go through. So I'm signed with Chug for management and label, and then I'm with a booking agency called Wheelhouse.
Cool. And then so before the Luke tour, what was your biggest tour?
Nothing. Luke was my first tour.
Oh yeah.
It was it went.
It was like from the show, and then
I had a year between I had a year between the end, a year and a half between when we filmed the show and when I went out on the Luke tour, and I was just doing like local gigs when I booked this tour, and then, so it was funny. We just wrapped up before we came over here, my first like headline tour. We did like 3 weeks, 8 shows all down the East Coast. And I was like, it's so fucking crazy that you go from playing like 15,000, like doing like all these big venues. And then you come back and like, I've had to walk back down the steps a little bit. I'm like, yeah. I took like a huge leap from pub gigs with like 20 people to stadiums. And now I'm coming back to the smaller rooms. But I think that's what made it so fun. Like being out on that tour, I really had to like push the showmanship.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you have a shit show compared to like you like your boy's show and Kojo's show, you're going to look like the weak link on that tour. And I was not doing that at all.
Yeah. I remember seeing Joey Moy talk to someone when they were about to go out with Hardy. And they're like, you guys are going to get your lunch ate every night unless you just amplify everything you do. You know? So like getting to kind of see that, it's like, cool. And I thought the band was great, but I understand like it's different levels. Yeah. You know?
Especially with like being relatively a nobody in the scene at the time, I really had to like put on a show to get that fan base and be like convert them and be like, oh, hey, this little mullet kid's kind of cool. Let's follow him and see what he does.
Yeah. And I mean, not to sound biased or anything, but Cody Johnson and Luke Combs are two guys that would be great to learn from if you're wanting to be a country music singer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Two of the goats.
They're the goats.
And, you got to meet them and hang with them, and I'm sure that was fun for you.
I nerded out hardcore. That was after, like, the last show, and we sat there and talked for, like, an hour, and I don't even remember half the conversation because the whole time I was like, hey, it's Luke Combs. He's talking to me. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
I've seen a lot of people have like that kind of reaction, but literally like when they meet Luke, they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
I kept it so cool. Like the last show, I wanted to walk out into the pit and just like stay disguised. I mean, it's hard when you've got like a mullet like this. Everyone's kind of like, oh, hey, you were just on stage 10 minutes ago. So I'd put my hair up in like a ponytail, like man bun thing, put it in my cap and then put like a hoodie on. I opened the door and here's like Luke standing outside my dressing room, like taking photos with people. Then I like shut the door so quick, ripped it all off. And good thing I did, because I walked out. And then Dave was like, hey, Lane, you want to get a photo with Luke? And I was like, thank God I ripped that off. That would have been the fucking weirdest photo. I would have never posted in my entire life.
One of my favorite memories from that tour is I was in the still Luke's green room. And I had a tequila shot. And I was doing a tequila shot with whoever else. And Lane walks in. And I'm like, hey, I had no idea that you were 17 at the time. I'm like, you want a shot? And your mom was with you. And he's like, I'm 17. And I look at his mom. I'm like, please. And she's like, just one.
mom's the goat for that. I remember like that. That is like my favorite thing. And then I think you guys only gave me half a tequila shot. You're like, you're not doing a full one. You're not old enough. You do half a tequila shot.
No, yeah. That was just funny. Your mom's awesome, man. I hung with her a lot on that tour.
Yeah, she's a G. She couldn't come over. Like we were just like, I love my mom, but now that I'm an adult, I was like, you can stay home this trip. I got this covered. But mom, if you're watching, hello. Love you long time.
Yeah.
So is this your first time ever here in the States?
Yeah, I mean, I literally, the first time I even got a passport was last year to go to New Zealand for the tour. Like, I'd never even left the country, so to be here is, like, fucking mental.
So tell us what you've been up to since you've been over here.
I played CMA Fest, which was fucking wild. I did, like, a spotlight stage thing, and then played at Eric Church's new bar for a showcase. And
downstairs?
No, we did it up in the like the churchy thing, the neon steeple.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I played up there. That was a vibe. And then I did a couple of showcases at the 5 spot too.
Nice. Oh, cool. That's right by my house.
Oh, damn. Yeah. You know, place is a vibe.
Oh, it's great. What a trip. And did you come over here just, are you playing acoustic? You didn't bring your band, did you?
No, I didn't bring the boys. They were like, flying 4 boys over here is, it's
thousands and thousands.
It was expensive even getting me over here. So I was like, boys, let's wait until I'm actually getting paid to play over here, and then we'll consider flying you boys over.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that's the thing too. Like, there's oftentimes people have like a in country band, and then like when they go, they'll like get another band for a tour and stuff like that, just because it is so hard economically to pay people.
And also, like, you know, some guys that are like, especially Canadian artists, I feel like it's there's passports and complications You know, so it's like, all right, well, I got a couple guys I play with when I'm in the States and when I'm home.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that's kind of, I meant to ask you this earlier. It's like, you said you did a tour, like a club tour in Australia. But it's like, it's not like where the U.S. you can like hit the Southeast for a while and then do like a, you know, Midwest and then West Coast. It's kind of like, there's only a few bigger cities, right?
Yeah. So we did... I don't know how much like you guys got to explore. So we did the Sunshine Coast for the first night, which was like, it's like an hour and a half from Brisbane. Then we hit Brisbane and then the Gold Coast, and that was our first weekend. So three shows, three nights. Weekend after we did like one show down in Melbourne. It was like a one-off thing. And then after that, we did two shows in Sydney and then two shows in a place like an hour and a half from there called Newcastle. So it was like, it was a nice vibe. Newcastle was like, my partner lives in Newcastle, so that was kind of like the hometown-y kind of show for me, which was a real vibe. And some shows sold out, which is even better because, you know, you never really know.
Congrats, man.
You know, that's amazing. Thank you. It's I mean, putting your first headline or that headline tour on, you never really know how it's going to go. And we had like, on pre-sale, it was nuts. We had like 400 tickets sell on like pre-sale. And I was like, I'd never done this. I was like, is that a good number for like a starting out? And they were like,
that's 400 like, more dude, than I've ever nuts. Sold.
Yeah. What size rooms were you guys playing?
I think the biggest room we played was like 300. But we did like one, the show we did on the Gold Coast, it was like, we got like a guarantee from the venue. And I think like 500 people showed up to that thing because it was technically a free show for them. So they were like, oh yeah, this is a vibe. Sunday afternoon, all the adults were there to get drunk and they ended up just bringing their kids who just were like vibing down the front.
Cool. Yeah, sell some merch and that make was, some new fans.
That was the money show. That was the merch money show.
Love it.
So with an indie record label, are you on radio over there at all? Or is that something you guys are exploring?
Yeah, we're on country radio at the moment. We've had, how many singles now? Three singles to country radio, and they've all kind of like floated, kind of got up top 10, top 5, sort of that area, which is pretty cool. And I think we're getting ready to release the next radio single, which you were actually singing before we walked in, Going Nowhere Fast, I think is going to be our next radio single.
I think that's the hit, man. That's because the steel guitar on it sounds good.
I wonder who played that.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. That's cool, man.
No, you're welcome. I was like, we were sitting in the studio and they had like some shitty sample on it. And I was like, who can I get? And they were like, we know a guy. And I was like, wait, I know a guy. I don't know if he's going to say yes, but let me DM him. And so I DM'd you. And I think all I got back was, fuck yeah, bro. And I was like,
yep.
I was like, I'm in. I was like, let's sort this out immediately.
Yeah, no, I mean... It's weird that my playing is going to be on the radio in Australia.
It's
yeah.
cool, though.
Is that the only song you played on? Did you play on some more? I'm trying to think.
I don't remember.
Me either.
I think a few different songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you might have already been on the radio.
Yeah, probably two or three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the one for me on that EP.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one.
That's my favorite one. Like live shows, that's like our built different kind of track. We go like... ape shit. I like piss the mic stand off and I just like run around the stage like a little maniac and like jump. I like because we've got wireless mics and I run in ears. Mm-hmm. Like even at the club level, in ears are just like so amazing.
Oh yeah. So it like protects your hearing too.
Oh yeah. So I'm like running out into the crowd, like jumping on tables and chairs, and like that's the song that I really just kind of like cut loose before I like piss off for the night.
Yeah. What is some of your influences growing up? I remember because I was practicing my fiddle before the show and I remember quizzing you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's this? And you like knew every tune that I would play.
Yeah, I think the first tune you played was like Cowgirls Don't Cry, like Brooks and Dunn. And I was like I heard that, I was like, that's that. And he's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, American country is like kind of what you get. Like you get brought up on like the Australian country, but it's like mostly American. So like in the car, like way back in the day was like Tim McGraw, Alan Jackson, Brooks and Dunn. My granddad used to listen to a lot of like Randy Travis, George Strait, Chris Ledoux. He's a big Chris Ledoux fan. But like for me now, it's like all of that, like plus all the new guys like Luke, Cody, Ernest, Hardy, Morgan. Like I listen to pretty much everything.
You got your new Zach Top shirt on? Or not right now, but no. You bought one, you said?
I did, yeah. I bought a Zach Top shirt the other night at Nissan Stadium. He's bringing like real country back. Like, that's the vibe.
Yeah, we've had him on the pod, I guess like almost 2 years ago, maybe. Year and a half.
Has it been that long?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Damn.
I remember hearing him and just being like, this is the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then now to see it kind of grow is super cool.
It's wild.
Who else have you seen? Any favorites of the that you've seen at CMA Fest? Any tips you've taken
look, who did? Oh, Jelly Roll. I saw Jelly Roll because obviously he can't come to Australia. He was
felon.
Felon.
Oh, really?
Can't get in the country. So that was like the person who always like let's like see him. And then he did like have either of you like seen a Jelly Roll show? He does the whole like rap section in the middle, and I was like getting into like the whole crowd. I was like, this is the most fucking crazy shit to see at a country show. Like, you just have like a whole rap breakdown in the middle. I was like, what a G.
Yeah. I saw him January or February of December 22, I think it was. I went to Welcome to Rockville and I had to go see Metallica and pop in and see some Jelly Roll. Yeah, he crushed. So you like Jelly?
Jelly was cool. Who else did I see that I kind of vibed? Brothers Osborne, I saw them for the first time.
So good.
Live, they're really cool. I don't even know. I'm so like sleep deprived that I can't even remember half the people I saw, but there's probably like 9 billion videos on my phone because I like noted out hardcore.
Well, hopefully you got some inspiration to bring home with you.
I did. Like, I messaged my drummer today. Like, I'm already itching to get back out there and play like live shows. And like, I think our live shows are like good at the moment, but like once we start getting to like the bigger things and we're starting to play festivals a lot more consistently now, like that's when I'm really gonna like cut loose and take a bunch of this shit and be like, here you go, here's how you put on a real show, people.
Yeah
Well, that's part of it too, is like some people are great vocalists and they just kind of stand there, and some people are all over stage, and so you can get different things from people that you don't even maybe think about having be an inspiration. It can be an inspiration for just a little bit or a little part of your show, or just your live performance.
That's like, It's real weird, but like Freddie Mercury is like someone who I'm like stage presence wise, like that dude is like unmatched in the entirety of music, vocally.
Songwriting, he's a god.
He's when I say that, people are like, that's random. I'm like, well, no, it's not. When you really think about it and break it down to the fundamentals, it makes the most sense of all time.
Yep. Yeah, he's one of the finest vocalist performers, writers of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like the best rock and roll frontman ever.
Yeah.
Except
Chris Cornell, but yeah.
I hear you, man. Yeah, no doubt.
So do you have like a crew over there that you write with, or you do solo writing, or how does that work?
I've only like just started getting into writing. So this trip, like we played like the showcase, but this trip was like predominantly like we'll get over here and we'll like get you writing with people. So
yeah,
I'm just like trying to like soak in as much knowledge. Like I wrote with Neil Mason from the Cadillac 3 yesterday.
Sick. I love Neil.
He wrote a few songs on the EP as well. So it was like cool to get in a room and like finally meet him rather than just like sending emails and Instagram DMs back and forth.
But yeah,
I'm just over here to like learn how to do it, because it's like the one thing in Australia. It's like you kind of just have to like know how to write. But I'm just like, I'm a little kid who's lived like no life at the moment. I've got like a couple depressing stories, but nothing like real happy to talk about. So I'm just like, how do I channel little bits and make happy songs out of them?
Yeah, totally makes sense.
I love your like, it's like you're very self-aware.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, I'm 18 and I might not have the most to say in the world yet, you know.
Yeah,
that was it. Like with Neil yesterday, like we tried for, I think it was like 2.5 hours, and we couldn't really find anything that we kind of liked, and we both looked at each other and we were like, let's cool it. So I just like, as I was packing away my guitar, I played like some chords and I was like, I can write a song, even if I wanted to. I can write a song to say the ways that I love you. And we both looked at each other and we were like, that's the fucking thing, isn't it? That's it. And we ended up there for like another 45 minutes and we were like, oh, okay, that's the one. Of course it is.
Yeah. There you go. It works that way sometimes.
It does.
Yeah.
Neil's such a G too. I've actually had him on the podcast as well.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, back in the day. They wrote a song called Raise Rowdy.
Oh.
Yeah. Neil, Jaron, and Randy Montana.
Damn.
So that's what we actually intro the podcast with.
Jeez.
So you'll hear a tiny smidge of that work tape. It was never released, but
oh, damn.
Yeah, you'll hear a little tiny smidge of that work tape at the beginning of the pod.
Let's go. I'm just hoping like I don't look like a complete dick on this podcast. That's the goal.
Well, I mean, look at that American CMA Fest shirt.
I look like I fit in. I'm wearing like the jeans and the boots. I like kind of like dressed up today because I wasn't sure how much you'd like see. So I was like, I don't want to just like roll in like shorts and sneakers.
You got premium Luke Combs hat on there, category 10. Yeah, you look great. Look.
Bars open in 2024.
There you go.
Anybody over 21, go. I don't know if it's an all-ages bar. I wouldn't know.
Probably during the day.
I told Luke's manager, Cappy, that I want something on the menu named after me, hopefully. We'll see.
The veggie burger.
Yeah, give me that. And he had a colorful name for it, which I won't repeat here. But it wasn't very flattering of me, I'll say that.
Damn. That's rough.
Yeah, man. Well, I hope you had a good time in Nashville, man.
It's been fun. I won't lie. I'm looking forward to going home, though, purely because I miss my bed and I miss my PlayStation, and they just announced a new Call of Duty game.
Oh, yeah.
And that looks like fucking fun.
There you go. You got to play some Call of Duty. You know, Call of Duty and Fortnite and all these games, it's kind of like the golf course for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
People get on there and network, and I know, like, Luke plays video games like Drew Parker and like Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Damn.
And like we've got a crew that we play with.
Yeah, I have like a bunch of songwriter buddies and like artists that we're playing Fortnite mostly.
Fortnite? That's my bread and butter these days. I've been playing that since it like released now. Yeah. So I'm like all right.
Yeah, I'm bad, but it's just we get so on there bad. And just fuck off.
Do you play like the no build one so you like can't be
absolutely.
That's what anybody who like went from like playing like FPSs back in the day. They're like, building way too confusing for me. Let me just like run around and like snipe kids in the head.
Yes. Well, now there's no sniper rifles right now.
Oh, I know. It's so shit. It's crazy. How are you supposed to play the game properly?
Well, it makes people like me that are bad actually have a chance, you know?
But nowadays everyone just like gets in cars and like starts shooting their machine gun turrets.
Yeah. The cars are wild. It's rough. Then the boogie bombs kill the cars.
Exactly. That's
balance, y'all.
That's it.
Balance.
But, so, yeah, it's like, that's like the fucking golf court. Golf course now.
Absolutely.
Man.
And that's kind of like Kurt and I will smoke cigars. And that's like one of the things I talk about is like, that's a time where you have an hour where you're spending time with people.
Yeah.
You know, I'll smoke a cigar by myself, but I mostly do it with friends.
Yeah.
So it's like a good way to bond over something that you're doing together. I feel like golf's kind of the same way. And video games has been that. I hadn't played video games for years. And then I guess like a little bit over a year ago, I got a PlayStation just because I was like trying to not go out to the bar as much.
Yeah, sit at home and chill, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, this will pay for itself in like 5 trips, you know?
Nice. And it does. Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where it's just how are you connecting with people, right? You know? And the people that you want to keep connected with, how are you connecting with them?
Yeah.
Because if you don't put time in with people, then you're going to lose the connection with them.
That's it. It's like, socials, I've been like notoriously bad for like social media. So my management are just like, now film you doing like whatever. So we had like a mini series running to like promote the tour where I'd go around and just like review food. I did like a KFC review and it like 15,000 views on TikTok. I'm like, why does that do good? But like me like being like the stuff that I want to do good does notoriously shit. Yeah. It's like so frustrating. Like we did like that whole with my band, I did like that whole like what's up brother kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of like my band members who are like a little bit older. And like I did it to him and he's like, what's going on? I was like, dude. But my drummer Adam, did you would have met Adam.
Sure, if he's on tour, yeah.
Yeah, he's my little bearded drummer. He kinda knew it, so I was like, okay, at least I got some good content out of this. Someone knew it.
I feel like it happens to a lot of artists where it's like something pops off that's not their main thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like,
well, and it's the thing that I think for artists is they know your music, right? Hopefully, or they will if they are new to it. But what's the thing that makes them know you?
Yeah.
And so it's little things.
It's a personality kind of content.
Yeah, exactly. I've been like watching things that say like people are more attached to you as a person and your personality and who you are than they are to a company or a business or maybe even songs.
Yeah.
Songs are definitely a little different, but it's just another way to kind of foster a relationship with someone that you don't actually physically have a relationship with.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think like socials, like they've said it forever. It's like socials are like the most, I'd say they're like the second most important thing other than like touring for me personally. Cause you want to like, you get them in on the socials and then they see you like coming like semi near where they live and they're like, yeah, okay, let's go check this dude out. And then that's when you like really get them. Is it the live show?
Yeah. Well, the cool thing about socials are it's like, imagine that you're playing a show and you can have random people show up at it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what social media is right now.
Yeah.
You're showing it to the people that are already your fans, but you also have the option to get that to people that have no idea who you are yet. Oh, that's the power of it.
That's the bomb. Like, TikTok for that is amazing.
Yes.
That's like the algorithm there makes no sense and you can just end up with like random people like viewing your stuff.
Yeah.
Truly.
But it's powerful because again, someone might not even know they like country music until they listen to you sing.
Oh yeah, that's I mean, it wasn't on socials, but all my mates, I converted them over the 6 years of high school to country music. It was
6 years of high school?
Yeah, so we go primary schools, like kindergarten, which I guess you guys would call like prep, through to grade six. And then once you hit grade seven, seven through 12 is high school.
Oh, high school.
So you're just at the one school the whole time. And I got there and I was like the one kid in my, one of like probably like a handful of kids who like country music. And like I started playing it and they're like, shut up. So like I had to learn how to play like some Post Malone shit on guitar just to like kind of get them to like tune into what I was doing. By the end of it, they were sending me like,
yeah,
I was playing like circles and they're like, what a dude. And yeah. Then by the end of it, they're like, by the end of high school, they're like sending me something like that by Tim McGraw. And they're like, Lane, have you heard this song? I'm like, since I was fucking two, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, here's my playlist of good country music. Get yourself educated, boys.
Yeah.
Sort it out.
Well, I was never a huge country fan. Like, my dad was super into country music when I was young, so yeah. I, like, knew all the songs, but it wasn't, like, that was the genre I was picking up and trying to listen to.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2012, I think, I just, like, engulfed my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is the thing that I really like.
That's me. Like, country's always been the thing, but, like, I love to, like, venture out into different, like, genres. Like, I'm just like, if a song's good... Or if an artist's good, I don't care what the genre is.
Yeah.
Music is music, and good music is good music, and Agreed. Bad music is shit music.
Yep. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, so what are some artists that you've been digging into recently that are outside the genre?
Let me see. I'm going to pull out my phone.
Pull your phone out.
Let's go and vibe the Spotify playlist. Any important emails? No. I didn't. I mean, there shouldn't be. It's like night. It's like middle of the night over there.
Yeah.
Powderfinger, they're an Australian band. They are vibes. They're like a rock band over in Australia.
Hell yeah.
I've got some like James Arthur on here, which is really weird. Nickelback.
Okay.
Now I mean you'd argue they're like kind of like rock country.
We're in the Nickelback world over here.
Nickelback.
We fucking
vibes.
We have, as part of the Raise Rowdy family, an account called Butt Rock Night.
Yeah.
That talks about like Nickelback, Creed, Limp Bizkit, all of that.
That was like my high school.
It's like, yeah, it's actually our biggest like follower account.
Burn it to the ground's kind of like the song I play in the green room before I walk out. And that's like the song that like really, I'm just like, okay, I'll fucking go play a show.
Dude, Nickelback fucks, man.
Oh, yeah.
Chaz G. And as are all the band.
Oh, yeah. What else we got in here? Country. Yeah, no, it's pretty much all just country kind of from here for the foreseeable
future.
Nothing
wrong with that, man.
It's the vibes.
Yeah.
What are some of your favorite country artists that are like doing it right now? I know we talked about Zach Top for a minute.
Yeah. Oh, songwriting wise, it's got to be like Ernest and Hardy. Those boys just like produce like hit after hit.
Mm-hmm.
I know Hardy's like kind of moving away from like country. He's like heading into the rock thing, but I think that's kind of what I like admire. Like he's just kind of at the point in his career now where he's just like, I'm happy. I've got a fan base who's dedicated. I'm going to try new stuff. And I think that's like really aspiring.
Yeah, with the same producer that produced all of Nickelback's hits.
Yeah, like it's wild. Who else do I love? I mean, this is going to sound really weird because you just like work with him every day. But Luke, like the whole like what he's doing at the moment. Like I'm excited to hear that new album with like all the dad songs and stuff.
Yeah, that's going to be a vibe. Out in like a week or something.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
When is this podcast coming out?
Probably like 3 weeks.
I don't know, detail work.
That album, yeah. That album's great. Such a good album, isn't it, boys? Like the songs on that, so amazing. Huh?
I'm not gonna lie. We listened to it the other day, like after the show. We just sat, and you could tell like a bunch of dudes in the green room, and like a song would play. I'd look over at like Trevor's crying during the song. Like you could tell who's got kids.
Yeah,
you know, and like. I mean, I'm completely biased, but it's going to be great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Super stoked for it. Such a good album. I'm so excited that I've already heard it.
Yeah.
So you have most recently put out your 5-song EP. Is that right? 5 songs?
Let me do some math. 6. I did some mental math. 6.
Okay. 6-song EP. That came out
6 months ago?
I was going to say half a year ago. Yeah. Any plans for new music coming out?
Yeah, we're going to hopefully make some fucking bangers out of this trip and record some new music, hopefully release a new song end of the year. You know, we kind of try and give the songs a little while on radio before we shove some new shit down people's throats.
Oh, yeah, because you're thinking about Going Nowhere Fast is going to radio.
Yeah, that'll go to radio. So, like, I don't know what the cycle is over here, but, like, we get about 3 months out of a song in Australian country radio. So, back end of the year, we'll release some new stuff. And then next year, I think we're gonna hit one more EP because I think a first one is like it's a good intro, but I really want to kind of define the sound second time round before I hit an album. which I think is kind of for me.
That makes sense, yeah.
I want to define who, like, I want people to know, okay, this is what I'm going to get with, yeah, my, with like, Elaine Pittman.
I love EPs because I feel like they're a statement in time of, like, this is who I am and this is the thing I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not the full pressure of, like, a studio album. And honestly, you get it from younger or, you know, more developmental acts. So
yeah,
EPs are some of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Well, Luke's new record is supposed to be an EP.
Yeah.
And he just was writing for it. He's like, I want to just do an EP, get some of these dad songs out. And then he just ended up writing so many, and he had so much fun cutting them that he was like, all right, let's just make another. Let's just do it again. So they just cut essentially two EPs and made a record out of it.
Damn. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a vibe.
Yeah, man. Well, it's been good, you know, getting to catch up with you, man.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming out here to America.
Yeah, thank you for flying all the way to America to hang out with Nick and
this,
I.
This was it. As soon as you asked me to come on the pod, I rang him up and I was like, okay, I'm going just for this. Yeah. This is the only reason I came. The other stuff was just like out of bonus.
Yeah,
no doubt. Yeah, it's good to catch up with you, man.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I'm looking forward to seeing what you're able to do, and hopefully we go back to Australia at some point, maybe 2025, and we'll get to hang again.
That'd be vibes. I mean, I remember them saying, I'm so thankful. Like, I mean, the Women's World Cup, like the soccer was on while we were over there. They were saying if that wasn't on, we were going to do stadiums.
Yes. Oh, I think it was it World Cup or was it rugby?
I think it was or women's. Both. Maybe it was both, but I was like, thank fuck the Women's World Cup was on, because I was already shitting my pants in arenas, like stadiums. I would have had to like run off like every other song and like change my jeans.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, man. Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Trust me. Yeah. But do you want to shout your socials out so people can follow along and listen to your music and all that?
Yeah, let's do some shameless promo. You can find me on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook at Lane Pittman Official. And my music's just Lane Pittman because that's my name. And
LanePittman.
That's Kurt, you can do English.
Yeah.
Let's
I speak Australian, dude.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on, bro. It's been awesome having you, and good to catch up.
Yeah, good to meet you, man.
Good to meet you.
We'll have to do a half a shot of tequila again soon. When you're old enough.
Old enough over here. Wait, when you come back, we can do full tequila shots.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm looking forward to it, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, well, my name's Kurt Ozon.
I'm Nick D.
And we'll see you in the front row.